Hi, it's Kalia,
IGC coach training grad and six-figure certified coach. I know you're here listening to these incredible stories of successful coaches and wondering, when will it be my turn? I'm sure you entered this year with the goal of finally stepping into your purpose. And there is no better way than enrolling in IGC's internationally accredited coach training program. Enrollment is open now, and it is your turn. So take the first step by going to innerglowcircle.com/call right now and book a free call with me. Your six-figure certified story starts today.
It's time to pick up the phone. Answer that call.
This call is your calling, and you can't hide from it or ignore it.
That passion you have to help people and make a difference isn't going anywhere. You deserve to get paid and paid well doing work you love and changing lives.
Everything in your life has led you here, and now we're here to help you figure out how to make your destiny your reality.
Welcome to Six Figure Certified Coach, the podcast hosted by Inner Glow Circle.
IGC is an internationally accredited life coaching school created to take your existing professional skills paired with your life experience and turn it into a six-figure coaching business.
We've trained thousands of successful coaches, and now it's your turn.
Let's get focused, get real, and get you six-figure certified.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Six Figure Certified Coach with your hosts, Katie and Liv.
Hello. Welcome back, everyone.
So we're doing a little two-part series here, a little this or that. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the big changes that are happening in the way that the world has done careers, the way that the world has done education. And we're going to touch on two main things. One is college versus entrepreneurship. Higher ed versus higher now. I like that, Liv. Very catchy.
Thank you.
Then next week, we're going to get into part two, which is really about the great resignation. By now, most of you guys have probably heard that term. We'll touch on it today, and then we'll go deep into it next week. We're talking about whether or not you should resign or remain at your job. Things have really gotten shuffled around in people's lives. Things are always changing, and that's the world that we live in now. We know that we need to be flexible, that we need to kind of be prepared for anything. But at the same time, how do you plan your life? How do you plan your career when that's the world that you're living in? So that's what we're here to discuss today.
Yeah. And hopefully if we put our heads together, we will figure that out. How do we plan our lives?
We know that so many people are starting to not go to college because they want to pursue entrepreneurship.
You know, the interesting thing between you and I is I had hired you when I was in grad school while realizing I didn't want to be in grad school. And you also started coaching when you had started grad school for nutrition, but chose to leave that program to pursue business.
I hired a coach while I was in grad school, and then I dropped out to go through coach training. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And I had like one semester left of grad school, so I did not drop out. We've been on both ends of the spectrum. A lot of people that we talk to are like, do I go to college or go to grad school or do I start a business? In my own personal experience as well, I didn't know who to ask. I knew people that did both, but I didn't know anyone who had necessarily chosen business over college.
Yeah. I don't know if we really knew that was a choice for us.
No, I never thought I had a choice. I literally, looking back, I'm like, I don't even think it was ever on the table in my household growing up, like whether you were going to do anything except college.
I definitely am happy that I went to college, but if I had had a really great idea, or if I had known that it was really truly an option to start a business and known what my options were for like alternative education, then maybe I would have thought through it differently. Our main purpose today is to educate you so that if you have an instinct or an intuition or a business idea, and maybe you want to go to your parents and make the case for them giving you money towards an idea over college, or you know, an idea over grad school, or maybe you're the one who's going to be taking out the loans and you just don't want to do that, but you need other options. We're actually going to give you some stats and some information that hopefully will kick off some other paths of research so you can make the right decision for you.
I'm at a point where I'm now saving for my kids to go to college and also still paying off some of my own student debt. You know, I always go through that. Like, what if I hadn't done this? And will I require my children to go to college? And of course, it's an honor and a privilege, but I don't personally feel attached to my kids going to college at the level that I felt like it was expected of me. And I do see that general consensus often with parents that I've been speaking to that actually, no, that's not the only option. My goal as a parent is to figure out and support my kids in identifying what they are great at. And if college is a requirement to be the best in that position, then great. If not, we'll do something else.
Well, it might be an honor and privilege to go to college, but it also might be an honor and privilege to use those 4 years to start your business and get ahead of the game. Where could I be if I had 4 years? You learn a lot. You're exposed to a lot. How much do you really retain? I went to a great school. I went to Vanderbilt, and it's like a very highly ranked school. And I really feel like the main thing that I learned, which, like, if anyone went to school and tried, hopefully they learned this, was like how to get a lot of work done in a small time frame, like how to hustle and write like 30-page papers in like a day, or how to like effectively procrastinate and then still get an A on something. Those are the things that I remember doing in college to prove to myself my capacity. I pull from that still, but I could have also been working. I don't personally regret going to college, but it's something that as the world changes, we have to change with it. So when we think about our kids, when we counsel or consult with people who are going through our coach training programs, like, we have to think like, okay, well, how would I actually make this decision now, knowing what I know now?
And I do think, like you mentioned, work ethic and some of those skills like writing and organizing your time, having support from exceptional professors and people in that you meet and network with in college can be really great. I still go back and forth whether I could consider it worth it, especially the debt.
Since I have known you, it's been like a weight on your shoulders.
And it's a thing that goes into a lot of the decisions that I have to make, right? Like, okay, sure, I could have paid off all of my student loan debt by now, but would I have been able to buy a house? Would I have been able to invest in my kids' futures and educations at the level that I have?
When you're running a business, you know, you take certain risks financially.
It's a constant conversation, at least in my house now, around like, where are we putting the money? I like to put my money where I make money, and I'm actually not making money from my college degree. So, hey. Real estate it is.
You have used your education background.
Of course.
And I feel like your master's was valuable, even in our business.
Absolutely. And I think it adds a lot of credibility. And that's what I always tell people. I know I was on the phone with someone the other day who has a PhD and who's leaving her job to start a coaching business. And she's like, I just feel like I wasted so much money. And I was like, no, it's a huge value add, right?
Right.
And that's one of the things that we're talking about again in summer series. What are all of these life and professional experiences that you've had that are a value add to you being a business owner or coach? And college enrollment rates are way, way down. 1 million fewer students have enrolled in college in the last
over the past year.
It's kind of the vibe I've been getting just from talking to people and even seeing how, you know, parents' priorities have changed a little bit when it comes to what their expectations are of their children. People are actually looking at it like, okay, I can go and get a job and make money now and not actually owe $100,000 plus in debt. The average college tuition now, it ranges between $84,000 and $150,000 for a four-year degree. As a school teacher, it would have taken me 5 years to make $150,000 when I started.
I think it's also worth saying here that, like, you can be a huge proponent of education and still say college is optional. It used to be that it was like college or like these trade schools. Mm-hmm. And now there's so many ways to get alternative education.
But I even look at one of my brothers who did not go to college. He went to a trade school. I remember sitting down with him at one point when I was teaching, and he's like, I'm literally always going to net more than you if you're paying that student loan bill. And I'm like, wait, what? He had a point. The amount I was paying in student loans every month, like, I may as well just have had a job that, you know, I needed less of a degree for.
And it goes without saying, but let's say it anyways, like, if you want to be a doctor or you want to be a lawyer, if you want to take like a more traditional path and you have to get a specific education, then like you have to do that. Like, Like, right. There's no way to be a doctor and not go to undergrad and med school and do your residency. Liz Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, she has a book out called Big Magic. And she talks in her book about like really pleading people not to go get a master's in writing. Just write and submit articles, blog, write your first novel. You don't need to go to school. And I think about that with coaching or with entrepreneurial endeavors. We can sort of like go backwards and say like, well, this part was sort of useful and this part was sort of useful, but you could have done it without it.
It takes certain characteristics. You can love the idea of having a business and freedom and lifestyle flexibility and all of that. There are certain traits that can be developed within people, but I do think many people have naturally that are really cut out for entrepreneurship.
If you're the type of person who has a lot of ideas of things you want to bring into the world, you need to foster that creativity. It might not grow the way that it needs to grow in a traditional education environment or a traditional work environment.
I'm just going to put it out there, but like you, if you're not in business to make money, you're not really in business. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a passion project. When I realized that going off and utilizing my greatest skills and strength while not having an income ceiling was a possibility, I was floored. So you do have to have, you know, that desire to be creative, but I do think you also have to have a desire to build wealth and potentially build wealth in terms of like legacy.
You could also run a nonprofit. If you have a desire to start a organization, but you don't want it to be profit centric, the definition of that would be a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make money and have a salary, then that might not be the best way to do it. You might have a nonprofit, like our family started a foundation when my brother died. Liv and I, are we announcing this yet? We just started a foundation. I remember one time we were having a tough year and I was like, should we just turn this into a nonprofit? And you were like, absolutely not, but we can have a nonprofit. You have to call it what it is and you have to think about who are you. You can have a profit-driven business that makes money and pays people and then reinvest that money and still have that business help people.
Hi, it's Kalia, IGC coach training grad and six-figure certified coach. I know you're here listening to these incredible stories of successful coaches and wondering, when will it be my turn? I'm sure you entered this year with the goal of finally stepping into your purpose. And there is no better way than enrolling in IGC's internationally accredited coach training program. Enrollment is open now, and it is your turn. So take the first step by going to innerglowcircle.com/call right now and book a free call with me. Your six-figure certified story starts today.
I love paying people. I think it's the most exciting part when we like can give bonuses. It's this desire to not have the same thing happening every day. I know I've joked with you about this before, Katie, but like, I wish I could be normal sometimes and just be like, okay, with like strict routine and things looking the same every day and, you know, knowing exactly what to expect, but my soul would die. Like, I love the idea of every day is a new challenge. You don't always know, you know, what the day is going to be like. And you do, you know, have that flexibility to kind of create your own experience day to day too.
If I hadn't grown up in a family business and been exposed to so much entrepreneurship, I think that after Vanderbilt, I would have struggled even more to figure out what I wanted and what my options were. Like, a lot of my friends are always just like, you're so lucky that you grew up in an entrepreneurial family because you were exposed to so much. So my major at Vanderbilt was called Human and Organizational Development, but I did a minor in Women and Gender Studies. When I go back, it makes sense. Like, it was organizational theory, human development. There's a connection to coaching. I don't think I retained that much of like my actual coursework. Obviously, like the women's studies work fueled a lot of what we do now. The path that most people who went through my major went to was like to work in a very traditional consulting job, work for a Deloitte. I remember considering that, okay, maybe that's the next step to be like a corporate consultant. It's so funny because of the conversations we now have all the time about coaching versus consulting. People like are miserable in those jobs.
The quality of life conversation, which we're going to talk a lot about in part two with the great resignation conversation. I was interviewing someone last last week for the podcast, Lauren, whose episode is now out. That's how she made a lot of her decisions, though, was around like, how do I want to feel in my life every day? Is this feeling mostly good? Is this mostly what I want? And I think that's very, very different than how we were traditionally raised to look at our professional lives. People are becoming more and more open to looking at life from a quality of life perspective.
According to Forbes, the average net worth of Forbes 400 members who don't have a degree is actually 6.6% higher than the net worth of members who graduated from college. Why do you think that is?
My one thought is like, you skipped college, you're more
4 years ahead,
at least 4 years ahead of everyone else, right?
Yeah.
My other thought too is like, if you really have this like burning desire to solve a problem, which I think every business is rooted in, I think it keeps you up at night. I think it drives you a little bit further. And I'm sure there's some people on that Forbes 400 list who, you know, inherited companies that they've continued to grow and things like that. Maybe they had a little bit of an advantage by starting sooner. I think it does come down to the passion component too. If you're passionate enough to skip college and start your business, that fire can also catapult you.
Okay. Someone who doesn't go to college and instead chooses to hustle, college is sort of a way to put off getting into the real world.
I mean, I think so. I also kind of wish I could go to college now when I like know more about myself.
I know.
Like I was having coffee with a fellow female founder last week. She owns a coffee shop here. Awesome, awesome woman. She's like, study. I go, what are you taking a college course? Like now her business is established. It kind of runs, you know, day to day to a degree on its own without her involved very much. And she's like, now I get to go study what I want. And I can't remember what it was, but I think organizational psychology or something. Mm. And I said, that sounds fun. You know, I almost wish I could like, and I guess I could like take a class now.
Well, and it's like, we have so much more maturity now too, right, to actually right. be like, okay, what do I like? What do I want? You're just like taking classes and like binge
literally
drinking.
Literally the most expensive party of my life. I'm still paying for that.
What are the problems that you see in the world and how can you actually solve them? And maybe college can help you solve that problem. Maybe there's another way. Maybe you could take different college courses, but you don't have to go all the way with your degree. Maybe you could take different types of courses, right? Get different certifications. I think the worst thing in the world is thinking that the only option when you want to help people is to like become a social worker and make $30,000 a year. Not that if you're a social worker and you're listening to this and you're happy, like I am not digging on you at all. I just have met very few social workers in my life. Maybe not one. If you're the one, please DM us on Instagram, that are happy because they have this massive desire to help other people. They've gone through so much schooling, undergrad and grad. Then they're out and they're making $30,000 a year, maybe $40,000 a year. It's so unfortunate. So what if you could actually start a company that could solve problems for, you know, the people that you would be serving in a different way? What yeah. if you could be a coach and solve problems for these people in a different way? You can get outside of the box. There's not one way to solve any problem.
Totally. And I think that's also a good point for where different like business structures can come into play. Maybe it is through some type of organization. And I know, you know, I never left my teaching job, which I would say is probably similar to, you know, the level of stress, the, you know, being underpaid. Yeah. Similar yeah. to social work. I truly don't know any teachers that are like satisfied. I mean, of course it's fulfilling to support others. Absolutely. But not at your own expense for your whole life. It's a bigger conversation, but I think that there's alternatives and you have to start imagining that there are alternatives if you actually want to change your circumstance.
Do you have a desire to provide for your family and also leave a legacy with that? So maybe you want to start a family business, start a business that you could someday pass on to your children, that they can pass on to their children, building a business and then selling that business, building a business and then having someone who has kind of come up with you in the business take over the business and passing it on to them. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. Think about it. Is college really necessary? Is that going to help you get to where you want to go? If it is, great. If not, don't force it.
And you can always go back too. I think that's the other thing. And what you choose in this moment may shift. It's like you have to constantly be checking in with yourself and asking yourself, like, is this thing that I'm doing, especially is this thing that I'm investing in, mm-hmm. getting me closer to where I want to go? And sometimes the hard reality is literally hard to face. Once you kind of start making moves in the right direction, you will feel better. If you know that college is going to cost you around $100,000, I did have to know, like, what does a business startup cost, right? Because we get some people who are like, oh my God, it costs money to do this. And then other people who are like, damn, that's a good deal, right? I can start a business like with X amount of money. So after doing some research, the average cost to start a location-based business with inventory and 1 to 4 employees is around $60,000 for your first year. The average cost of starting a business as a solopreneur and in a service-based business is about $18,000 in the first year.
Like a coach.
Like a coach, yes. And that would include expenses you would incur in your first year, really training and certification, marketing costs, insurance, or state incorporation fees, like LLC fees and things of that nature, averaging around $18,000. It, of course, is a lot of money, but in comparison, not that much, right? If you have a plan to make back that investment, I mean, my God, I don't think anyone's going into business thinking like, I only want to make $18,000 a year. So, you know, the goal would always be to make more than that.
Hiscox, the insurance company, did a survey and 66% of small business owners around the world said that they believe their education system did not encourage individual ideas and dreams. You know, there's so much that I feel like we've just had to learn on the fly as entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I got like such a top education and still have needed to like work so hard to learn so many things. And there's so many basic skills that I did not learn in college. I think I was saying to you the other day, like if I went back to college, I would learn how to like code. Like I wish I could build websites, which is so helpful, but then I wouldn't have been exposed to like all the people skills. It's tough. It's really tough to say. And I think that if you don't go to college, you need to sort of in some ways design your own curriculum. It would be so valuable to be able to just like handpick the skills that you really want to learn or need to learn to become the person, the business owner that you want to be, and then not waste time on the other things that are just box checkers.
I don't know without like a coach or someone who had taken this path before, some type of accountability, that I would have chosen much of anything. I think me and hiring a coach and having a business mind was something that I could see as a vision, but without structure and support of like community and a coach, I don't think I would have.
Yeah, but if we knew that we could be life coaches, we maybe would have chosen that. Like you chose to be a teacher. You know, if someone had said like, okay, well, you can be a life coach and make like 6 figures or more, multiple 6 figures per year. You can be a teacher and make like 40, 50, maybe 60 with bonuses. And here's what it's going to take. And if you do this, you have location freedom. And if you do this, you have to be in a classroom every day. I don't know. I just think the biggest thing is young people need to know that they have way more options than are being presented to them.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a lot of rhetoric around, you know, new businesses fail. And I saw someone actually post about their new business the other day and all the comments were like, good luck. And in my mind, that's like insulting, like good luck. Like, no, how about let me like refer you a customer or please share the link to your website and good luck. But the thing is, you can also fail after college. You can go and I'm sorry, but maybe your degree doesn't actually provide you with enough foundation to get a good job that you actually like. I've seen this happen to friends and family where they, you know, went to school for something that they were excited about, assuming they would get a great job. I don't even want to insult anyone's passions, but there are some degrees that it's like, what did you think? Like, you know, you're upset about not having a job, but did you actually plan for what job you were going to have after this? You can fail whether or not you go to college, if you want to call it a failure. That's the thing. Like a new business can fail and your college degree could also fail. You have to just dig a little bit deeper and think to yourself, what is going to wake me up every day? What is going to make me the happiest? And what is going to open up the most opportunities for me to live my life to the fullest? And it's discounting what everyone else is doing or what your parents tell you to do, I think, and even what society tells you to do, because at the end of the day, you're going to end up unhappy if you're not following your own dreams.
And look, you can also have both at once. I made a decision to drop out of grad school for multiple reasons, but the biggest one was that I wanted to be able to make money and serve people right away. I didn't want to have to wait 2 years when I was finished my nutrition degree. I was ready to have a business. So you know within yourself if you're ready to have a business, if you're ready to start getting out there and serving clients and doing something. And it doesn't mean it happens tomorrow. I went through training and like I got my first client 3 months in, and then I got my next client. So I started to build a client base for myself, but I was really, really hungry at that point. And for me, I had gone through college, I had graduated, it had been a couple of years. I went back to grad school and I was like, I don't want this. I don't want to sit in a classroom thinking about all the people out in the world that need my help. I want to go find those people and be able to help them.
Yeah.
And so that was my mindset. I am so shocked every year at how many students we get that like are still in college or they're in their last year of college and they're going through coach training at the same time. And very often they're close to graduating. So they're just going to finish, but they've realized like they actually want to be a coach and they still need another level of certification, even though they've been through 4 years of college. And so they're doing both at the same time to increase their opportunities in terms of how they can come out into the business world strong.
I think it's a constant pressure. And I do think that because of social media and because of like an influencer culture too, people are starting to see that there's different ways to kind of be yourself and show up in the world. And as you were talking, Katie, I just have to say, like, I sometimes wish that I had started my business right away and then tagged on the college courses as I needed
them.
That's
what I'm saying.
Them, you know,
that would be the ideal.
Yeah. I think if you can start making money right away, and we talk about reinvesting in yourself and reinvesting in your business all the time, that would be one of those reinvestments, right? Like, I've made it this far. I have my coaching certification. I really want to take a course on coding so that I can customize my membership site or my website. Like, that makes so much more sense to me than doing it the other way around. And it's simply because of the cost ratio and the time.
Right.
A lot to think about.
Send us a DM on Instagram at InnerGlowCircle and tell us what you thought of this episode. We're so grateful that you tuned in today. Be sure to catch part two to talk about what should I do, resign or remain, for those of you who are already in the business world.
And you said this a minute ago, Katie, stay hungry. And it made me think of one of my favorite college dropouts, Steve Jobs, who said, stay hungry and stay foolish. So that's all we got today.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Let's face it, the world needs you and your clients are waiting.
This is the year you make it happen and become a six-figure certified coach doing exactly what you were called to do.
If you loved this episode, give us a 5-star review and share it with someone else who's ready to make moves and answer their calling.
We can't wait to see you next week and help you make your first or your next six figures as a certified coach.